From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
World-renowned singer-songwriter John Gorka has been performing since the late 1970s and will bring his style of guitar-driven acoustic music to Columbus on April 11th with six-string concerts, a frequent home for Mr. Gorka. Welcome to Craft, John Gorka.
Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to coming back to the six-string people. They're the best presenters. I mean, there may be others that are almost as good or as good, but nobody's better.
Yeah, I love the sound there. It is one of my favorite places to go to because they're not blowing your ears off. And the last couple times I went to a bar / performance area, I left with the ears
ringing.
Yeah, pretty ringing. But that's just me. Your 2025 album, Unentitled, starts with the song Favorite Place, which contains the description of songwriting as, "My favorite place to be is in the middle of a song, when it isn't completely right and it's not hopelessly wrong." I liked listening to that, I gotta say, because it's great to see an artist being positive about writing, because so often it seems that writing is struggle. Am I reading it correctly for you, that this is a song that says, hey, songwriting is enjoyable, or is it enjoyable?
I love being in the middle of a song, especially like in that song, when you know you've passed the point of inevitability, when it's just a matter of craft. Sometimes it's hard to get songs started, but once they are started, I love that. And I like working on several at a time and seeing which ones has some new possibilities to it.
So it's like a race.
I love the process, yeah. One of those things I've been doing some songwriting workshops, Swannanoa, and also with Eliza Gilkison. One of the things that I tell people is that it's called playing the guitar. It's not working the guitar. You're playing an instrument. So having that element of play involved is a necessary thing.
Mm-hmm. So when you are writing a song like that, you said you're doing several at one time. Is that you move from one to the other if you're sort of frustrated with one? Or is it you get a good idea and then you think, well, this might also work over here? Or how does it work to do so?
Sometimes there are pieces, you know, that come up independently and then you find out, they work together as a song. But most of the time, I generally have, if I've got lyrics, I'll be able to come up with music because part of the... there's some music already involved in a lyric, either by the pulse of the words or there's suggesting some sort of melody. I try to be open to any way a song could come about, and sometimes you just have to be ready for it to come and ready to get out of the way. You try not to make it into something it doesn't want to be.
So is that you following your muse, or do you have a set time or a set schedule for that? Because getting out of the way suggests that it's something that sort of visits upon you.
Yeah, it's the biggest difference to me. You know, there's two things, learning other people's songs and working on a schedule. I met Jack Hardy in 1979 at Godfrey Daniels Coffee House in Bethlehem. And he was the first person I met who wrote songs on a schedule. And I didn't know songwriters could do that. So I said, I just, you know, basically wait for inspiration to strike. And he said, that's a cop-out. If you work at it and put yourself on a schedule, you'll come up with more songs and you'll get better faster, even if you throw out 3/4 of what you come up with. I put myself on a 1-song-a-month schedule. In the first year, I had more songs a month, and I moved to 2 songs a month. So having little deadlines, a little bit of pressure is a good thing, but too much can be harmful.
You said the person had suggested that you might throw away 75%, let's say. How much do you throw away now? Are you in the position where you say, well, once I started, I've been at this craft so long that that's going to be a song? Or are there times you get started and you go, nope, not that one?
It's a funny sort of thing. You know, that doing the 2-song-a-month schedule for many years until having kids was a big, just made it demystify the process that it's possible to write a song and it's possible to get better. And so, if I come up with stuff and I reach a kind of a slow point where it slows up, I just put that aside and save it for later. But I don't know about if I probably keep more than I used to.
Okay. You've got a song on the album that's called Particle and Wave, and it's quite upbeat. There's a stanza that says, "We need to be reminded there is goodness in the world. Too often we are blinded to the goodness in the world. They are working hard to find it, the goodness in the world." Now, here's my take on it. I think the wave and particle is a reference to light being a wave and particle. It's that duality. You've got your goodness and your negativity. And you're saying pay attention to the goodness. With the current state of the world, how is this song going?
It's difficult. I do, but it is a song I do every night, you know. But given the state of the world, it's very easy to go the other way. I often say to the audience that, well, you know, these are rough times, but despair is not an option. So you have to work to find hope. And there's another song on there, Hope Doesn't Fall Like Rain. Hope without action is wishful thinking. So to find hope, you must be combining that with some physical or thoughtful action. So that, otherwise, like I said, it's just wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not the most optimistic person, but I feel like, I'm not going to give in to that. There's too many good people in the world, and most people are good until they're scared. And I feel like this is eventually a decency will reemerge, and we'll get a government that works for us rather than one that expects to have it work the other way around.
And my last question is just about song selection. And yeah. You've got, I think, 16 albums or more at this
Something
point.
Like that, yeah.
And that gives you a lot of songs to choose from when you're out on the road. Are there songs you perform because they carry personal meaning for you, but maybe aren't requested as often as others? In other words, are there songs you perform for yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely requests that I make to myself, and I often do those requests.
Well, it's nice that you're taking requests from an audience of one.
Yeah.
What are some of the songs that are like that for you that you might perform at the venue?
Like Semper Fi. I've been thinking about my dad a lot these days, who's a Marine in World War II and fought against the kind of people that we represent us now.
Yeah.
So that was one. There's other ones that kind of occur from time to time. We played on a winter's night show. We played in Des Moines, Iowa. And I thought, last time I played Des Moines, I got stuck in a snowstorm. And it ended up with a song called Hold Up in Mason City. And that turned into a song. But so I was hoping to do that at the winter's night show. But it varies what song is right for the moment. But so that's one of the things. I try to be flexible in with a set list or anything. I have some idea of what songs I'd like to do, but they're not right for the moment as the set develops. So it's kind of it's a concert. It's a collaboration with the audience to see which songs seem right.
Yeah. You go home, you could really only blame yourself at the end
that's
of it
right.
And say, you know, that guy was not taking the requests that I wanted.
That's right. Then he gets beat up a little bit.
All right. Well, John Gorka, I want to thank you very much for talking to me today. We're really looking forward to you being with Six String Concerts on April 11th for another wonderful return visit.
Yeah. My dad was born in Ohio. So that's, you know, I've been thinking about it. He's been gone since 72. But maybe I'll play that song.
Part of Ohio?
He was born in Fairpoint, which is kind of southeastern. His father was an immigrant coal miner. And I found out recently it could be the mines he might have worked in were Fairpoint Number 9 or Columbia Number 2.
Interesting. You've got all the reason in the world then to return to Ohio, and we'll hope to see you there.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on, and I hope I made some sense.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.